Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So yeah, when I started going out again in New York, it was different because I didn't know anybody here, you know? I mean, I had Leela, my fiance, and I had her friends, and I had people who I was then friendly with from visiting so much. Yeah, so I was really trying to catch my sea legs again because I was kind of drowning a little bit. It's like I had the odd gig, which was wonderful. Kristen Corvette.
Oh, yes, Kristen Corvette, friend of the pod.
She gave me a couple of my first gigs with Legacy of the Witch.
Nice.
And brought me back when they did the Sex Witch tour as well.
With Jack the Stripper.
Jack the Stripper. And so
another friend of the pod.
So I was lucky with opportunities. I was able to become friends with fantastic people. And so I did the odd gig for a year, and then I was starting to stretch it again and starting to do everything again. And I started doing the odd open stage and stuff. I've been really able to stretch my wings a lot more with gender performance.
Cool.
And play in those spaces a little bit more freely, because Brooklyn drag specifically brings you to a place where you can really assert your gender, and people are just
whatevs,
fuck with it. You know what I mean? Let's go. You know, it's very there, and everybody's here for everything. You know,
that's beautiful.
I've been part of shows where people have literally shit on stage.
Wow.
And then thrown it out in the audience. Now, it was a fake shit. It was a sausage coming out of this person's anus. But that's fine. You know, do you?
Wow.
Shout out to Faux Pas Le Fay. Oh, she's a crazy lady.
That is a faux pas.
Yeah. She's fantastic. She and her wife, Aurora, do a show called Eat Me, which I've been privileged enough to be a part of for a few of their shows, and I have really been shown the stretch of what could happen in drag and burlesque. It's wonderful. But yeah, I mean, Bazaar also has become a home for me with these people, and Bazaar, you can just see some bizarre ass shit.
Bazaar the bar.
Yeah, Bazaar Bushwick on 12 Jefferson. That literally you can do whatever you want in that space.
Wow.
And it's insane. But yeah, with all of that, I've really been able to stretch my wings a little bit, which has been awesome.
So will you describe some of your routines for us?
Oh God. Honestly, what my drag looked like a year ago is so different than what it looks like now.
Well, give us an example of something a year ago and then something recent.
So a year ago, I was leaning more towards burlesque.
Cool.
So everything I did was a little bit more on the sexier side.
Okay.
So it would be like that wine act that you saw at Sex Witch.
Yes.
So I had an act. I have an act. I would still do it. I have an act where I basically invoke the devil. Or I don't think it's actually invoking. It's more he kind of slides in without my knowing.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Slides in. So in the beginning, I'm just I just kind of invited this little horn spirit into my life, and then I kind of get into this mode where in the middle I'm kind of there's like an incantation with candles and such in that whole situation. And then I start to strip.
Yeah.
And I take off my long sweet wig to reveal a high pony, ponytail. Uh-huh. And I'm like nearly naked and I pour a full bottle of wine on myself.
Red wine.
Red wine. Ooh, and does it, the sweet stench of red wine.
You got to make sure to keep the sugar the bits,
Of the bits. I keep the bits covered.
Sometimes I feel like all I talk about on this show is don't put sugar
in your
bits.
In your bits. Don't
just
get
don't
the sugar
that.
In your bits.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I do that, and that's like the high point and end of that number. Is like the very end, I like pour most of the wine out, and then if there is any left in the bottle, I chug it down for the last few seconds.
Everybody loves a good red wine chug.
Oh my god, and it got everywhere. Like literally, like I had a tarp on stage and I thought I was far enough back. I also tried to tell the audience, I was like, if you were, because there was people like sitting in front of the stage at Bazaar, I was like, if you are in this area, it is the splash zone.
Yeah,
like it's definitely
so if you are wearing a white flowing Stevie Nicks outfit,
yes,
to
exactly.
The Sex Witch tour, it is about to get tie-dyed.
Yes, exactly, truly. It's like, please do not sit here if you were wearing anything other than black.
Yeah.
And if you care about it,
luckily everybody there was
wearing black.
What was the song that was playing during
I
that?
I started with a cover of Me and the Devil by Soap and Stone, and then ended it with Bedroom Hymns by Florence and the Machine. I gotta pat myself on the back for that one. That was a good mix. But yeah, so that's what a year ago looks like.
Yeah.
My most recent, like, new number, I did Weak by Skunka Nancy. And I did that similarly incantation-driven. But I come
I'm seeing a theme emerging.
Do you think maybe... Am I a witch?
Have you accepted Satan as
yes.
your personal
Lord and Savior?
Whatever.
I mean, probably not. To tell you the truth,
he's not into that. He's not trying to.
You know,
he's not trying to cuff anybody for the season.
I certainly hope not, because he'll be very disappointed. I don't like boys like that. But I'm sure he could turn into whatever you wanted him to. But the underlying theme is not your. A man, and I can't really get along. But anyway,
Satan's like, foiled.
Dang it!
It took millennia for someone to figure out how to get one over on me.
But yeah, me, I just start having conversations. Yeah, he's like crazy. It's whatever. He comes around sometimes. I'm just like, no.
That is kind of spoiler alert, the ending of The Witches of Eastwick.
Truly. Yeah. Which we've had a long conversation about.
Yes.
How wondrous that film is.
True.
But
Cher's outfits, especially in the beginning of that movie, are so much.
Honestly, Cher, through that like time period in her life, from Silkwood to then, was like the ship that sailed a thousand dykes. Truly.
So true.
Like, they were all getting on the ship from then to then, and like
so
we were
true.
All hoping she would like come on over, but she just never did.
Yeah. She does. Cher, you do you, Cher.
You do you. We believe in it.
True.
We share the belief, if you will.
Oh, shit.
But anyway, yes. Yeah, so that was a year ago. Now, yes. So Skunk Anansi, I did Week by Skunk Anansi. And it's sort of a draggy. It's more draggy than I would say my previous work. But I come out and I have a heart in like a scarf, so you don't necessarily know what's in it. And I have a concealed heart scar. So
The
end of the number, you realize that, you realize that the heart that I unraveled, they're like, oh shit. And then I stab it. It's filled with blood. So I stab it and the knife comes up like really bloody.
Is it like a heart from the butcher shop, like, or
oh no.
No,
oh god, that would be amazing. That
listen,
here to give the ideas, make it real. But no, it's a fake heart that
gotcha.
I like take the stuffing out of and I fill it with blood. And I stab it with like a sacrificial knife. It comes out bloody, and then I take off like the a little like feathery rough situation, and it reveals that I have a scar on my chest. And I have now stabbed my own heart, but I am only empowered by it. And it's a very intense lip sync to that song. The overarching theme is like, I'm not going to cry over spilt milk. You know what I mean? Like, nice. I'm a very emotional person, but I'm still quite like, I'm fine. This is fine. We'll move on. It's good. Like,
only if
I know
it's worth it. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I know it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I stab my own heart on stage, and I like really intensely lip sync out into the audience, and people seemed really into it.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
And will you describe one of your like early drag king routines?
Yeah. That's one thing that hasn't changed much. My earliest drag king routine was a song by Mark Ronson and Boy George. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but that's the only song they did together. So if you know the song, you know the song. And it was like a very emotional lip sync about like losing friends and like coming into your own. It's like a coming of age story. And then I love narrative pieces. I love a good narrative lyrical situation. So I do that. And at the I like lip sync through this whole song. And by the end, I take off my shirt and you realize like I'm bound, like I'm fully bound by like really obtrusive duct tape. Not like now I can bind a little bit more securely and like a little more discreetly. But at the time, the way that I was binding, it was like very clear. I was just trying to make them go away. So like by the end, you like see me in like silver duct tape all across my chest, like binding my chesticles and it's like this kind of emotional reveal at the end of the song. I would say my signature drag king act now is To Real Men by Tori Amos. And it's a reverse. You thought the vagina music was done.
I thought no such thing.
Yes. And it's a reverse strip of me getting into drag on stage.
Wow.
So by the end of it, I'm fully dressed.
Is that from her record that is all
Strange
covers
Little Girls.
Of...
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It's so good.
Yep.
It's so correct. I have tried for years to figure out what song I would do of Tori Amos's because I love her so much. She's like... Oh my god, she's my absolute favorite. And
speaking of looks that I would invoke for my
baby
dyke days,
the fucking like little slip with the baby heels,
the lacy slips as
you should bring a
dresses.
Piano bench that you can just straddle every few seconds.
I should. Lots of fairy stuff. Anyway,
yes,
I'll save it. I'll save it.
But yeah. Save it for the party.
Yeah, yeah.
Got to save something to be revealed.
Mm-hmm,
So yes, I fully in drag, and that's my signature act as a drag king now.
Yes,
but I'm always doing like I even did one the Magnetic Zeros, Andrew in drag. I did one where I was like, by the end of it, I also get into drag. Like I'm pining over a drag queen at the beginning of that, and then I know I mixed it into something else, but I can't remember at the moment what it is, but I mix it into something else, and then I bring a bag on stage and I like put a bra and heels on, like
nice.
I like kind of de-drag a little bit and put a bra and heels on, and I'm like, hey who
now
knows,
it's me,
yeah, who knows what I am. Surprise. So
that's
yeah,
sort of sounds like that's your
that is my do you see a theme?
Satan and who knows.
Satan and who knows, literally in quotes, who knows.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Wire people into that, listeners. Tina here, just popping in to let you know that PleasureChest.com has a special roleplay section of their site to inspire your Halloween season with toys and apparel for the inner witch or werewolf that you're dying to unleash. And don't forget, for the entire month of October, you can get 50 to 70% off select Halloween apparel, accessories, and lingerie at any Pleasure Chest store. If you prefer to shop online at PleasureChest.com, you'll get a free mystery trick-or-treat bag curated by a sex specialist with every online purchase from October 25th to October 31st. The New York, LA, and Chicago Pleasure Chest stores have also been offering special cosplay and costumery classes, including an animal play workshop taught by yours truly. Follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for updates, and have a safe, slutty, spooky Halloween. I'm going to tread carefully with this topic, because what I want to ask you about is sex, and what I want to ask about is the connection between gender performance and, you know, arousal. And I'm aware that there is a very problematic territory that I want to not avoid, but like acknowledge and be like, this is a, this territory
this
sucks.
Is a problem.
Yeah, this is a problem of the idea of especially the concept of men dressing in drag for the sole purpose of their own arousal, right? Because like,
The option of like transvestite
for sexual arousal,
like a kink, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so here's part of the reason that I want to talk about this so carefully is that like the fetish of cross-dressing is, in my esteem, a non-problematic. I mean, I actually think that anything that turns you on that does not involve harming another person is healthy and permissible. If if someone is harmed in your fantasy and you have a an understanding and a context for that, that's also okay. If it's like a fantasy that exists in your head, or there is like a role play or scenario
being
performed that everybody consents to, a scene of consensual non-consent, or you know, but like, so the difference between like fantasy harm and real harm.
Right.
Cisgender men who are turned on by wearing feminine clothes, you might call that cross-dressing, or the sort of the dominatrix, you know, offering of forced feminization. As my friend Mistress Blunt calls it, femme induction. Totally cool. I have had clients over the years. I have a lovely client now who is into that. And I don't think that there is anything... Basically, what I'm getting at is that I don't think that there is anything inherently transphobic about being turned on by dressing as a
wearing
feminine clothes, or dressing, being turned on by dressing as a gender that is not the gender that you present in real life.
Right.
I mean, you know, going back to the idea of like inverting the binary, I totally get turned on by.
I mean,
putting on
seen...
suits and being even butcher than I than I normally am.
Yeah, me and Lila were actually talking about this. Gillian Anderson just let out like a photo series with her Windsor London collection. She has to know. She
knows
that like older butch lesbian Draco moment is like definitely. She has to.
Gillian Anderson knows.
But anyway, yeah, side note. Like that's,
no, that's not a side note. That's very relevant. Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's I don't think there is inherently in that kink any version of transphobia. It's when it becomes like when it becomes something of a like, oh, I want you to degrade me in a certain way. that includes transphobic language that we cross the line, I feel. You know, because there's a very...
That's a good gauge.
Yeah, there's a very easy trip into, like, that kind of, like, defamation kink in those, in that clothing that could slide into slurs and just an uncomfortable territory. Now, would we ever even know if that's happening in someone's personal life? You know what I mean? Like, would, but it does, but I feel like that's where it becomes really murky waters, is that, like, if your kink is being in that clothing and being in being humiliated, there's a possibility, if someone's agreeing to that and then using a certain kind of language, that the person you're working with, a person that you're, like, choosing to engage in this with, is a transphobic person.
Or is grappling with their...
Yeah, exactly.
With their transphobia.
Or you, if you are asking for a certain kind of degradation and a use of a certain kind of language, that you are, one, maybe trans and should really think about that a little bit. But also, if, you know, if you put that kind of defamation with that kind of clothing and that kind of act, you're punishing yourself for a certain... for a certain need. You know what I mean? So it's really, there's like a, I'm sure there's like a whole psychology behind that.
Yeah,
kind
but
of
psychology
thing.
Is so traditionally transphobic.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
Not to mention misogynistic.
Yes, entirely.
Not to mention racist.
Yes, entirely. So there's like a lot that goes into that. I personally have I've never come across that moment. The kink questions for a trans man who, or a trans masculine person who does this kind of work, are a very different kind of, like, situation. But I feel like there's nothing inherently wrong with that kink, with a like a transvestite or like cross-dressing kink. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that. But when you get into the defamation of a person in those clothing, or you find that humiliating, or you find that, you know, it rubs you right in the way that it is humiliating, there is a certain amount of misogyny that comes with that. Like,
I totally agree. And you know, listening to you talk about it, it makes me think about how, like, a lot of the time what people who have cross-dressing kinks are turned on by is not what I've seen. What I've seen a lot more of is wanting to be degraded using sexist or more misogynistic language, whether it's "you dirty little slut" or "you're such a little whore." I feel like it's actually less common, like, wanting, like, transphobic slurs to be used against them. And it's interesting because It kind of feels related to the idea of, like, punching up or punching down. Like, when it's like, when a word like slut is not used to oppress you, then, then, and you are getting off on being called it, I think you just want to think about what that means and how perhaps you can balance out the fact that you get off on that with trying to make the world a better place for the people who are oppressed by that language, right? So, like, if you are a cisgender man who gets off on being called a dirty little slut, what are you doing to close the wage gap? Seriously.
Yeah.
And, like, if you are a straight cisgender man who really gets off on seeing yourself as a transvestite, seeing yourself as a crossdresser, or seeing yourself as transforming into a woman within the context of a kink scene, ushered by a dominatrix into a femme induction or forced feminization, what are you doing to make the world a safer place for
femme-identified people?
Yeah, specifically trans people and specifically trans women. Yeah, so it's a little bit like, okay, if it turns you on, it turns you on, and trying to repress it, it's just going to, like, lead to more thorny ugliness.
Right.
So, like, why don't you go ahead and get your kicks and then take responsibility for...
Right, the cool down session is what, you know, like, the aftercare is. So what are we going to do with that energy in our daily lives?
Dude, totally. Exactly. Okay, So now that we've solved that.
Done. Next.
Solved, done. God, we're solving so much today.
Yeah.
So productive. So my question for you is, you know, not to be brazenly like, do you get off on doing these performances? Mm-hmm. But specifically just like, how do you feel in terms of your body? And in what is the relationship between your performance energy and your sexuality?
I entirely get out of drag after these gigs because it's heavy, it's a lot, it's like uncomfortable in some situations. So afterwards, I'm not in it. Like, sex for me does not include satay.
Interesting.
Does not include satay at all. That is fully Matthew, and Matthew and Leela have a lot of fun. So that's how that goes. Because satay, honestly, is much different than me. Like, it seems, I'm sure it seems subtle for other people, but I think if you interact with me outside of drag enough, you would see the difference in how I interact with people in drag. It is so performatory and, like, very... Performatory, is that a word?
It can... It is now.
Well, you're going to use it anyway. It's great because it's... Yeah.
It's like oratory and performative combined.
Yes, that's the word, performative. It's very performative, and it's super different than anything I do outside of that, especially if it's femme. Especially if it's femme.
Interesting.
Because it's like, I do not want you to touch me if you think I'm a woman.
Wow, this is really interesting.
I do not, like, do not even cross the boundary. If your first thought is like, I want to fuck her. You know what I mean? Like, that is an issue. Like, that is not at all what this is. And you should stop yourself in your tracks and turn the other way.
So if I was an asshole and I was going to say to you, then why do you show off if you don't want to be desired?
Yeah.
Like, why do you show off as femme if you don't want to be desired as femme?
Well, the thing is, I don't mind the desire.
Mm.
You can desire me as satay all you want. There are certain performances that I do.
Just
that
keep
are
it
just,
to yourself.
Yeah, truly. Yeah. Like, don't come up to me and say, hey, I want to, you know, I want to like fuck your tits, like, or something like that, which they're too small to do that. But you know, like, if that's the conversation you're having with yourself in your head, is that like, I want to fuck this person as a woman, then you don't want to fuck, like, you want to fuck satay, and that's fine. Femme satay, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's fine, because if you like women and you like femininity, then like, you're gonna think about things like
you're
that
good
anyway.
At it.
Exactly. Yeah. Cool. But like, don't approach me with that. You know, I mean, this is a scenario in which I'm either like single or poly, which I'm neither of those things. But if I was open to those situations, you know, this is if your next step for you is like, if I got completely naked in front of you and you're like, that's a woman, that doesn't. That's going to, like, cause issues in our...
I mean, that they would be wrong.
Precisely.
Yeah.
They would be incorrect, and...
Nobody wants to be incorrect in bed.
Exactly. And I also just feel like that's part of the territory in a certain kind of burlesque. My burlesque doesn't really incite that kind of excitement because it doesn't do that anymore. Like, I don't perform it to be sexy anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's part of why... The like beauty of like bringing in elements that are alluring and seductive, and then
totally bait, like, and switching.
Yeah, yeah, and then you're like, pow, like, this is abject, or like, this is disgusting, or yeah,
exactly. So gotcha. Now there definitely are nights where I have residual like excitement and adrenaline that I like go home, I take it off, and I'm just like, hey. Are you up for it? I'm up for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But that, again, that's entirely like Matthew to partner, not satay to my partner, you know?
Yeah.
And those are two entirely different things for me, really.
Well, that is a beautiful answer to that question. And such a fascinating, so fascinating to consider how your meaning, like, not just you, Matthew, but one's performance identity can get you in touch with who you really are. But then once you've gotten in touch with that, you do want to close the curtain.
Yeah,
and, like,
separate it.
Take off the wig and be that, because you can't live your life on stage.
Yeah, truly.
It's a place that the stage, like sex, is a good place to visit, perhaps even several times a day.
Yes.
But ultimately, you need to ground yourself in something that isn't
separate and
something
real.
Something separate that.
Or, like, at least you can, like, kind of face yourself.
Yeah, what's the word for, I really want to have a word for being off stage or your, like, non-sexual self that isn't real.
Right, it's not necessarily.
And I hate the word authentic, I'm not.
Right, it's not, authenticity can come in both situations, you know. But it's definitely, there really isn't a word for, like, kind of stepping out of that. Because even sex doesn't necessarily have to be performative every time. So,
no,
like,
totally.
You know, so it's like that there isn't a word for, like, outside of those.
I don't know,
moments.
something about, like, being grounded or something about
having time with yourself.
Yeah. Me parties, I like to call them. Yeah. Well, we're going to figure out what that word is.
Yeah.
In the meantime, is there anything else that you feel like you want to share about drag or burlesque or your journey or.
You know, I actually do want to go back to RuPaul's Drag Race for a second, because I feel like there was a lot of controversy this year.
Yes.
Around, and it does bring itself back into, like, trans identities and mainstream media.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this a little bit before, but so as a person who's really been in love, because in the past few years, I have lost a bit of respect for RuPaul, unfortunately.
Yeah, speaking of faux pas, there's been some faux pas.
There's an amount that you forget that he's a cis man sometimes.
Yeah.
And so when he says these things, it kind of jars. Like, because I think, I saw him as a drag queen for so long, forgetting that he's, like, a man out of drag.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a cis male gay.
Yeah.
And there's always been a little bit, like, and like we were saying, like, there's an amount of misogyny that lives within the gay community.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even among themselves and outwardly.
Yeah.
The comments he's said, not only about trans women being on the show pre-op or pre-hormones, you know, was the only way they could be on the show, which, trash.
Come on.
Absolute trash. But also what he said about kind of using his drag identity specific for me, someone who has looked up to him as a specifically a black drag queen, for him to distract from his blackness using his comments. I wish I had the article up, but what it left with me was that he was, because he said something about, like, black distracting from black rage or something around those along those lines. It was something in the phrasing for me that left a bad taste in my mouth. And it's not to say that he was ignoring his blackness. He was very aware of it. But I was so surprised at the way he phrased some things and the way he's talked about some things. RuPaul's Drag Race, to me, like I said, was so transformative and brought to the forefront so many feelings for me, and I'm sure it has for a lot of other people. I mean, there's no way you can't with, like, 100 some drag queens and, like, 10 to like 15 seasons of a show.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's a bit of a letdown to have one of the pillars of your community and basically one of the only, like, mainstream queer people, especially a queer POC, kind of talk down to a whole part of the community in that way and kind of devalue drag in that way, because he was like, it's not punk unless you're a dude, basically. Like, it's not punk that you do drag if you're not a dude. So fucked up.
It's fucked up also incorrect.
Yeah, I feel like it's punk as fuck that I get on stage and lip sync in my identity so confidently without any care in the world of what someone else might say. And not only that, but have the agency to stand up for it in that way.
Yeah.
Like, that's punk as fuck.
I agree with you.
And so I think, and it's really unfortunate that it kind of goes to the sidelines, those conversations. Like, I don't feel like there's been really much follow up on that either. As far as, like, conversation with RuPaul to really, like, figure out, like, because he did apologize, but through Twitter, like, there's only so much 140 characters can say, and a couple of pictures of, like, trans flags.
Yeah, and running your mouth off and being insensitive and, like, showing how out of touch you are.
Mm-hmm.
And also, thanks for everything that you've done, RuPaul, but you don't get to say what is and isn't
right. He is never
queer, what is and isn't drag, what is and isn't punk.
Right, and he also is not the... he. And I think what a lot of people forget is that he's not the be-all, end-all.
Yeah.
And that show is not the be-all, end-all.
Yeah.
What I feel is drag goes as far as, like, some eyeliner and a lip sync all the way to, you know, fantastic costumes with, like, crazy reveals and intense, like, characterizations and all of that. Like, you know, it just spans that whole... It spans all of that. I feel like drag is how you perform gender for people to see, like, for people to understand. You know?
What if they don't understand?
Then you've confused someone, and then that's even more. That's even more exciting. There's more conversations to have, and there will always be more conversations to have about drag and gender and burlesque and performance and how they all coincide and, like, coalesce. And I just, it fascinates me that anybody could just bluntly and say something like, I don't think trans women do drag after a certain point. You know?
I do know. What a great pull quote. Well done. Amazing. You know, thanks for speaking to that.
I just think that there's so much more that drag is, and deciding that you've it showed how old he is, really.
Yeah, I mean, this is why we have to kill our idols.
Exactly.
I mean, precisely. I'm not, like, you know,
as far as, like, thought processes.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. You really have to evaluate what you're idolizing about someone.
Yes.
You know, for me, now I know that I was excited about drag, like, RuPaul, in the way that he, like, revolutionized a certain amount of drag and made a certain amount of it mainstream.
Yeah.
That's super exciting. Thank you so much. You're fantastic.
Yeah.
Do your best. But after a certain point, like, I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to be friends with him.
I don't know. It sounds like maybe you need to talk to him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would be a fun conversation, but I don't want to be his friend necessarily.
Yeah.
You know,
and
you know, who knows? I don't know him personally, but I know what he has said has really just given me, it just made me so sad.
Well, I don't want to make you sad. You have made me so happy today. This has been an amazing conversation, and I really feel like this is an example of how this show can be about gender identity and about performance art, and then also still about fucking.
Yeah, also still about fucking.
Thanks for going to all of those places with me.
Yeah.
So where can people find you on the internet?
On the internet. Okay, so I'm going to spell some of it because... So on Facebook, though I am on it less than I should be, probably for promotion purposes, but...
Fuck it.
On Antaeus Bontemps, so that's the first name is Anteus. Bontemps, Bontemps. That's Facebook. And then my Instagram, which you should probably follow more so, is Cité Bontemps, which is CETAITBONTEMPS. That is Cité Bontemps.
Anywhere else on the internet?
No, I don't really use any of the other platforms. I'm sure you could find me on Twitter, but I don't have the password to that anymore, so don't follow it.
Fuck that too.
Yeah.
What does Cité Bontemps mean?
It was a good time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I mean, yeah, that was a seller for me. It was like, it was a good time after you think about it for a little bit. But you might have to think about it for a little bit.
And is it any reference at all to True Blood, or any like tribute at all to True Blood?
No, I wish. I wish I would have thought about it, but from now on, maybe I will just say
you
it.
You should just say that it's the town from True Blood.
Yeah. My tagline right now is the baby boy of Alaskan drag.
Yeah.
But maybe it'll just be like that ooky spooky town from True Blood. Just that. Like, not even of drag and burlesque, just anything. It's just like that ooky spooky town, Cité Bontemps.
God, so funny. And so you're mostly performing in New York these days.
Yeah. Exclusively, pretty much. If you want me to travel, pay me.
Yes. Fuck you, pay me.
Yes. So what I have coming up, I took a lot of September off.
Good.
I needed a... baby boy needed a rest. For October, I've got a few things coming up. Follow me for the rest. But those are the most... Those are the upcoming ones that you can catch me at soonest.
Well, thank you for coming on the show and sharing everything about your drag journey. And...
Yes.
I'll see you on stage.
Yes, hell yeah. Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.